Our scripture reading today is Psalm 148, and you can find that on page 982 in your pew Bible or on your electronic devices. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, this morning for my last message with you all, I'm going to do something a little different. Of course, you're used to me throwing curveballs at you, right? In my doctoral program, one of the things that I learned under Dr. Lensweet was that when Scripture gives you a detail, especially the New Testament authors, if they give you a very specific detail, there's a reason for it. And we see this actually throughout the Gospels, right, primarily, but also through Acts, and Paul will sometimes do this. But if they give you a detail, that means there's a purpose for that detail being put there. And the understanding was that for those that were writing, that that detail was a clue to help you understand the backstory of what was going on. And so as a scholar, our job is to go and research that detail. And as you have found, that's something I love to do. I love to go and I love to dig. I love to see what's in there. What were the scriptures, what were the authors of the scriptures trying to tell us that the people of that culture would have understood, but others might have missed? Well, one such clue that comes up for this time of year happens to be the fact that we are told by Luke that Jesus was born in a stable, laid in a manger, and that the angels appeared to shepherds at night. Why are we being told that there are shepherds, plural, at night? Because if you go and you study ancient culture at all, you will know that if people had sheep herds, they would put them in a sheep pen. If that's where home was for them, if they were at their home, which we know that this time of year, this is where the sheep were at their home area, there would have been a sheep pen for them to be collected in, with only one gate. Oh, Jesus talks about I am the gate, right? Okay, and then somebody would be either in front of the gate or there would be nobody at the gate, but there'd only be one shepherd if there was any out at night. So we're being told that there are shepherds out at night watching the flock by night. Wait a second, that's a clue. That's a clue to something. Well, as you do the research, you get to find, you discover there's a lot more to the story of the sheep and the fields and the shepherds of Bethlehem. And I found this kind of hard to teach. But what I decided to do was to put it into a story, to write an original story, with the hope that this story would be something that even kids could hear and then understand and come away going, I get it. And so this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you the story of Tavis. Tavis will be a young shepherd boy who is in the field. And the setting is we're back in the fields of Bethlehem, and it's nighttime again. We're two nights after the angelic hosts have come and shared their announcement. And Tavis finds himself back out in the fields with the hired help as well. And we're going to discover why is Tavis there and why is that field and those sheep important. So, not your typical sermon, but it is God's word because it's based out of Luke chapter 2. And I hope that we come away with a greater appreciation of why the Messiah was born, where he was born. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word that continues to speak to us in many ways that we don't always realize and recognize. But story is one of those gifts where we get to see some more of the detail of what was happening on that day and what it was a perfect night. So Lord, let our eyes and ears be opened. Let our hearts receive your word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh, hello. Are you also here to see if the angels came back tonight? Yeah, it was pretty amazing. The most amazing thing I've ever seen. Hi, my name is Tavis, son of Tobias. Are you more of our extended family that's come home to Bethlehem for the Roman census? My mother always said we had a special family with a lot of family living outside of Bethlehem, but I never realized how big our family really was. I guess being part of the family line of King David is kind of special. I'm sorry I haven't been awake during the day to meet everyone. See, it's been my turn to do the night shift with the other shepherds. I've never had to stay up all night before this week. It's my first time doing it. It's part of my training to someday become the chief shepherd over the Passover lambs. Yes, these are Passover lambs. Yeah, we don't have just any sheep herd. We have the special lambs that are raised just for the temple. Our family has been doing this for centuries. My dad, Tobias, he's the chief shepherd. And his dad was before him, and my great-grandfather, and my great-great-grandfather, and, well, you get the picture. It's a really cool job. My father says it's like a calling from the God of creation, a blessing that our family is able to raise the lambs for all of Israel so that we can celebrate Passover together. These are the most perfect lambs of all of Israel, and we get to take extra special care of all of them all year long, keeping them healthy and fed, and we have to protect them from predators, especially at night when they are sleeping. That's why we take turns on the night shift along with these hired shepherds. It's my first year, really, working with my dad all the time. You see, you have to be specially trained and blessed by the priests at the temple first before you can become a shepherd over the Passover lambs. My father said our family is our shepherd priests to these lambs. And I finally turned 13, so I got to go with my dad to the temple and to go to the festival of Shavuot, and where we celebrate God giving Moses the Torah. After the festival is over, the shepherds come to the temple for our official training. They teach us how we are to give special care to the lambs, how to make sure that every lamb is without blemish, how important it is for us to love each one of these lambs, and then to know when they are ready to be brought to the temple. And after our training is over, the priest pronounces a blessing over us, and then they bring us all of the old priestly robes. These are all the robes that they've been wearing in the temple, but they've gotten to be too worn or stained to be worn anymore for temple activities. So each year we take those old temple robes and bring them back with us for next lambing season. And some years it's a lot to bring back. Why are those old priestly robes important? Well, as part of our job, we have to take special care of each lamb that's born during lambing season. My dad says that in regular sheep herds, it's not uncommon for many newborn lambs to not survive, whether from the cold nights or being unprotected from predators. But we have to make sure that we preserve the as many Passover lambs as possible. So once they're born, we clean them off, we inspect them for any blemishes, and if they don't have any blemishes or color spots and they're pure white, then we're supposed to wrap them up in the old priest's robes, swaddling them to protect them and keep them warm. One of the lambs that we wrap up will end up being the Paschal lamb of Passover by the high priest. And we don't know which one that's going to be. So we have to take good care of all of them. And so we keep them in the manger and in the manger the first few nights to make sure that they're warm and safe. We make sure they're sheltered. And the ewes will come in and feed their newborn lambs until it's safe for the new babies to be out in the fields with the others. I know, this is fascinating, isn't it? I knew you knew some of this, but it wasn't until I officially trained at the temple and started working with my dad that I began to appreciate all of this and how important everything is that we do for these Passover lambs. And in order for me to someday become chief shepherd, I have to know how everything works. That's why I have to do the night shift this last week. And it was a good thing, or I would have missed out on the angels. So it was a quiet night. We were here at the fire. We keep the fire up here in the middle of the hill so that we can keep an eye on the fields below us. That way, if a predator comes in, they have to come in over the hill on the other side. We can see them, we can see if there's any movement, and then we can call down to the other shepherds that are at the bottom of the hill. Honestly, I didn't see the angels at first. I was having a hard time just staying awake. All I saw was a bright light shining on the faces of the other shepherds. I thought maybe it was just a shooting star lighting up the night sky. So I whipped around and there he was. It was up in the sky above the hills. At first, I didn't realize what it was. It looked like a person, but was glowing with a light from within. And it was so beautiful. And then I noticed the wings stretched out on each side, and I realized it was an angel. The angel was kind of far away, so I wasn't really scared at first. But when I looked back, the other shepherds were on their knees, face down in the dirt, terrified. Then the angel spoke. And when he did, that's when I hit the dirt. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Then just as I lifted my head back up to see what was going on, the sky really lit up. It was as bright as a summer's afternoon, and we could see everything as clear as day. I squinted my eyes and looked back up into the sky, and that's when I saw all of the angels. I don't know exactly how many there were. One of the shepherds said it was a multitude, I guess. Maybe they were just a big choir because they started singing. But it wasn't like singing like we've ever heard before. It was beautiful and peaceful. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace on whom his favor rests." Their song was amazing. You felt the song more than you heard it. My entire body seemed to be in tune with what they were singing. I could almost feel their song resonating inside of me. Then, just like that, they were gone. They vanished. It took about a minute for my eyes to adjust back to the darkness. We all just stood there, silently at first. The only light now coming from our campfire. I realized I was now totally awake. Then one of the older shepherds said, "Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." We all knew where to go. Up to the lambing stables at our family farm. And so we all made our way up the hill towards town, and sure enough, there was my mom walking out of one of the stables in the middle of the night. She was surprised to see us all standing there. Hi, Mom, you're never going to believe what just happened. And we began telling her about what the angels had just announced to us. She sat there with an inquisitive look on her face. Well, I wonder if that's Joseph and Mary's new baby. I just helped her with the birth, and now they have a beautiful new baby boy. My mom told us that Joseph had stopped at our house and asked our family if we could help. His wife was in labor, and they needed a place for her to give birth. There was no extra room in the family home because of all the out-of-towners. Joseph was their cousin, and I remember him from when I was younger. He had to move up to Nazareth because there was no work for him here in Bethlehem or Jerusalem. But now he was back for the census and for the birth of his new baby. And then Joseph motioned us in, almost as if he was expecting us. And as we entered, our eyes all went towards the manger. And there, just as the angel told us, was a precious and perfect baby boy, all wrapped up in one of those old priestly robes, swaddled tight and lying in a manger. It was surreal, just like during lambing season, except this child was the only little baby with a manger all to himself. I'm not sure how long we stood there, but some of the others finally left and returned to go watch the sheep. Everyone was giddy, realizing how lucky, how blessed we were to be the ones to see the angels and witness this great thing. Everyone is wondering what they are going to name the baby. Mom thinks they should name him Tavis, like me, since my name means gift from God. Well, I guess we'll find out soon enough. Well, the angels didn't show up again last night. I'm not sure if they're coming back, but you're more than welcome to stay here by the fire with us and keep us company. And if you want to go visit Joseph and Mary and their new baby boy, well, they're now back at their family home closer to town, the house of Jacob, son of Matthan. And it sounds like they plan to stay here in Bethlehem for a while. There's one thing I can't figure out, though. Why did God want the Messiah to be born in our field? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you are the God of detail. There is nothing that escapes your vision. There is no detail too small that passes your attention. And when it came to the birth of your one and only Son, Emmanuel, God with us, you wanted to make sure that every clue was there of his purpose. We thank you that not only are you the God of detail, but you are the God of relationship, and that your most precious gift is your love for us. And we thank you for that gift. We thank you for the way that you have changed our lives for forever because of what happened on that Christmas morning. We thank you and we praise you. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.